Spring is here, and in neighborhoods across the state, residents are out in the yard, making room for new growth, rakes, leaf blowers, and loppers in hand. Along with this annual spring cleaning comes a tradition that makes some bristle. It's called crepe murder.
I call it crepe maiming just because it actually doesn't kill the tree. It rarely does.
Meg Turner is a Richmond-based landscape designer.
Crepe murder, or maiming, is when you prune it so that you cut off the top of every branch. And it doesn't matter whether you cut 6 inches in my book, or 2 feet, or 10 feet.
Drive around any neighborhood and you'll see it. Gone are the graceful branches that slightly twist and bend, giving each tree its taper and character. What's left are sparse stubs, some just a few feet off the ground. Numerous shoots, or suckers, will emerge from the amputations, which some call summer's crepe horror. Repeat offenses will create knuckles on the limbs, a lasting disfigurement. Turner uses a blog and social media in her campaign to stop this senseless butchery. Properly maintained, Turner says, crepe myrtles provide 4 seasons of interest.
It's got a beautiful form and exfoliating bark, and that those are shown off really nicely in the winter. In the spring, it leafs out a little bit late. Summer, it blooms. There are white, pink, red, purple cultivars, and it blooms for a long time, so I think that's why people like to use it a lot in, commercial landscapes and whatnot. And then fall foliage on most cultivars is also gorgeous. Reds, golds, things like that. So it's a loved tree. It's also extremely hardy and tough.
Turner suggests I get in touch with arborist Peter Girardi to find out how he maintains these trees.
Hi.
Hey,
good, how are you?
I'm well.
Great day for landscaping.
Right.
Catherine.
Peter.
Girardi works with True Timber Tree Service. Today, he's eyeing up a trio of tall crepe myrtles. The client would like them to take up a smaller amount of space.
So in the past, these trees have been pruned really low and then not so low. And then this client wants them pruned low or feels that they're too big for this site. So I was looking at it with my climber. Then someone's even gone up even higher in the canopy. So we're trying to figure out where to reduce those trees, and there's not that many branches to cut back to.
Girardi estimates that probably all of his clients have crepe myrtles, and he's helped rehabilitate many of them.
So we do a lot of restoration pruning. So they bought a house, and they don't want that crepe myrtle look on their crepe myrtle, but they love the crepe myrtle. Or they had it pruned a couple years earlier, didn't realize what they were signing on to, and came home and were not satisfied with it. So what we can do is take those multiple stems and either reduce it to 1 or 2 stems, depending on how much we want to prune out at one time, and get it back to a natural flow.
In the back of the house, Girardi's crew is shaping up a couple crepe myrtles. He explains the proper technique.
I would start with the base, prune out any suckers, long shoots that are growing out of the base of the tree.
Also, prune out any dead limbs and crossing or rubbing branches. If you're thinning the tree out, says Girardi, follow the 1/3 rule.
You cut it back to a branch that is at least 1/3 of the stem diameter. So that one little sucker off that little limb is about 1/3 of what the cut that he just made. So when you make those pruning cuts back to 1/3, aesthetically it looks decent and the tree's likely to survive it. Some trees, if you made a pruning cut and it was not 1/3, that limb may eventually die.
Topping an oak, maple, or other large trees can be dangerous, says Girardi. That's not the case with crepe myrtles, but he does try to discourage clients who request that lopped-off look. So how did crepe murder, or maiming, become so widespread? Enter how to prune a crepe myrtle into an online image search, says Girardi, and you'll get lots of results for improperly pruned trees. Drive past shopping centers, and you'll see landscaping companies doing it too.
And, I mean, they do take a passion for it. I mean, I can tell that there are artists up there trying to make it look perfectly rounded over and topped, but I think that's what people see. They see it at the shopping center when they're going shopping, and they see it next to where they parked, and like, well, maybe that's what I should do with my crepe myrtle, and not really knowing the reasons why.
Girardi only prunes his own crepe myrtle once every 3 or 4 years when it starts to get in the way of the sidewalk or driveway. Same for Meg Turner, who describes her approach to pruning as Darwinist.
It looks like they were cutting there for a long time.
Back at Turner's house, she points to where a giant crepe myrtle was maimed during its decades-old life, once at about 4.5 feet high, another at about 8 feet high. She's been guiding it back to a natural shape.
And I really should get the thin guys out. And you just basically want to step back and pick to keep the best form.
Turner also helps property owners restore their maimed trees. So we head to a client's house to see a success story.
So this is the one right there. Do you see this? Knuckles.
Yeah.
And if you look around, so at that point they stopped topping and would thin, and they selectively pruned out where you'd had the bunches of branches coming out of those knuckles. And over time it's starting to take on its nice natural tapered form.
There's one more stop we need to make. Turner's got a favorite row of crepe myrtles that show how restraint, along with proper pruning, will yield a stunning tree.
You see that whole tapering effect and the light and airy. And it's fine to leave the seed heads on there.
Yeah, they disappear eventually.
With just, you know, it's just a feel. It's a natural feel. And I think pruning in general, it's just, you just have to get out there and do it. And the more you do it, the more you get a feel for that particular tree or shrub. It's fun.
Turner and Girardi also warn about another troubling trend, volcano mulching. That's piling up mulch high around the trunk of the tree, which can cause disease and decay. They suggest just 2 to 3 inches of mulch spread flat a few feet around, but not touching the trunk. For Virginia Currents, this is Catherine Comp, WCVE News.